Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of League Lore and More. Last week we finished our Ixtal series, so this week is going to be one of the tweener episodes. And I did mention that MSI was going on, the mid-season invitational. And as most international tournaments go, it is a time for the Eastern teams from China and Korea to commit virtual genocide against the North American and European teams, as is the case in almost every year of competitive League of Legends, except for 2018 and 2019, and a little bit of 2020, but not really. And yeah, every time this happens, there's a lot of discourse around what can the West do to close the gap, to improve, to get to the level of the Koreans and the Chinese. And a lot of people, a lot of, like, I guess, streamers or analysts talk about a lot of in-game things, and it really bothers me. Not that those mistakes and in-game issues aren't present, they are, but they're not addressing the actual problem, which is the culture that has been brewing and festering in much more so North America, but also in Europe over essentially the course of the league's existence. And the culture is just vastly different from that of an East Asian culture, specifically in Korea and in China. And what I mean by that is the players over there, you know, they understand that they're livelihood and their essentially purpose in life is to be a good League of Legends player and to be a great League of Legends player. And so they stop at nothing to get there. Now, a lot of them fail, as you know, not everyone can be the winner at the end, but that's what drives their top teams to absolutely destroy anybody that they play, especially the teams from the West. The teams in the West have players that are grossly overpaid and who would much rather have a quote-unquote work-life balance than to completely grind the game and become the best that they can. Now, I'm not a proponent of not having a work-life balance, but when you are professional, and we'll just call them athletes for now for sake of a verb or a noun, not a verb. They're athletes, right? So like if I'm watching the NFL or the NBA or the MLB, I'm expecting that the players are locked in for the duration of the season and the postseason. Then they get multiple months of the year off. Now, granted, they're probably still going to be working out, doing some other thing. Now, the great ones are going to be constantly working on their game throughout the offseason, but that's what makes them great, is that, you know, they live and breathe football, essentially, you know, like if you're Tom Brady. So it's always bothered me that certain outspoken players in the LCS will complain about other people's ideas for changes and how to change the LCS to, you know, improve it and you know, complain about these sort of things when, like, they have literal, like, say they won Worlds, you know, which would be the longest the season could go. If they win Worlds, their season will end the second week of November, or the end of the first week of November. The next season won't start until the end of January, but starting in January, you're going to have to start, you know, practicing with your team and stuff. So there, you're going to have 2 months, maybe, you know, 7 weeks, 8 weeks of downtime. I understand how that might not seem like a lot, but on the contrary, to only have that much time, you're winning worlds. So the trade-off should be worth it. Whereas if you don't even make it to worlds, like 7 out of the 10 teams in each league, your season is ending in very early September or in the middle of August. And so you're getting 4 to 4.5 to 5 months off. So if that's not enough time to then decide that you should actually focus and spend the majority of your time during the season focusing on the game, I don't really know what to tell you. The most ordinary people don't get 5 months off in the year, let alone 2 months. And there's a player on Cloud9, their top laner Fudge, who is someone who is very outspoken in terms of complaining about the practice level, and not in the way that I'm advocating for, which is more, but a lot of NA pros will complain about the solo queue environment and how the solo queue player base isn't large enough and good enough to provide good practice outside of their normal practice day with their team, which is going to be, you know, scrimming against other teams in the league. You know, they're going home and they're expected to play solo queue to practice and get better, but it's not good practice because the players aren't good. And, you know, Korea and China do have much higher player bases, which means you're going to have a much higher pool of good players to practice against. But there was a fix for this, which is that Riot acquiesced and they created a thing called Champions Queue, which is meant for, it's an invite only. So pro players get in, academy players get in, and other people who are aspiring to be pro or are just understood to be serious about the game and also like in Challenger or like Grandmaster. So people that aren't going to troll, they tried to limit one tricks, people who only play one champion and get them out. And so it was basically the best practice environment you could have outside of scrimming with your team. And C9 Fudge would still not play it. He didn't play it at all and said that he just didn't think it was useful. So I don't really know what he wants, because he's arguing that solo queue isn't worth playing because it's not good practice. So he's just going to do his own thing. And then when Champions Queue comes out, that's also not good practice. And so he doesn't want to do that, which leads me to think that he's just lazy. And then some people say, oh, no, he's not lazy. Like, look at this and that he does. But compared to his competition, he is lazy. And just to demonstrate how bad it is in NA, especially with like their season format, which is best of ones. So it's a double round robin best of one. So there's 10 teams in the league. So you're going to play the other 9 teams twice. So 18 games and then playoffs. Heading into MSI and throughout MSI, C9 has played 43 competitive games. So that includes their regular season of 18 games, the playoffs, which they played, I think, 3 series. And then their MSI series. They've played 43 competitive games. The team that they lost to, or a team, they've lost to several teams at MSI. The first team that they lost to in a best of 5 is BLG, which is the second seed out of China, that team has played 96 games. That is over double what C9 has played. 96 competitive games. And this is because China and Korea have seasons that are best of three series. So each week, they're going to play a couple of series that are best of three. Now, that could only be two games, but it could be three games. And those are, so you're automatically doubling the amount of games, and you could theoretically triple. But in reality, it's going to be somewhere between double and triple the amount of regular season games that the LCS is playing. I don't know how anyone thinks that that isn't significant. And just to go through the list of teams at MSI, the Korean one seed is second place with 71 games, still 30 more than C9. The European team, which we'll look at their format, Mad Lions, has 65 games. Now, Europe changed their format this year from away from what the LCS has done, is doing, and they have a best of one section, followed by a best of three section, followed by a best of five playoff section. And they've done two splits already this year of that format. So Mad Lions is at 65 games. T1 from Korea is at 64 games. G2 from Europe is at 58 games. JDG from China is at 54 games, much less than their second place BLG. The second seed from China, BLG. And that's because JDG just won, which is a caveat in this win, this count, right? It's like C9, they didn't drop down into a loser's bracket, but even that would have added maybe, you know, 10 more games to their stat. JDG enters as China's first seed because they actually just kind of dominated everybody. Golden Guardians from NA, which is who C9 beat in the finals, has 52 games played. Yeah. I don't... actually, even that number, I think, for Golden Guardians is actually wrong. I think they have more. There's four teams at MSI that C9 has more games than. Well, actually, three. Because they're tied with one of the wild card teams. So there's four wild card teams from minor regions here at MSI. And those are the four teams. Well, C9 is tied with one, and they have more than three of the other teams. All these teams exited in the play-in stage. C9 has not played any of these teams at MSI. And the only team they beat at MSI is Golden Guardians, who they beat in the North American Finals. So I don't know how anybody, like, I've never seen a clearer image of the cutoff and the gap and how these regions are stacked. NA is right at the cusp of being a minor wildcard region. They're consistently better than those regions, but they are consistently much, much, much worse than every other major region. And a lot of players, Fudge included, argue that best of ones is fine. And there's a whole viewership aspect as to why best of ones are the thing and not best of threes, which is shitty, but it's a business. It's financial. And like, you do have to take that into account. But at the end of the day, like, that's your answer. Koreans and the Chinese will just grind and grind and grind, and they want to play as many games as possible. 96 games is insane. By the end of the year, they're going to have, you know, at minimum 150 games, which is mind-boggling, of competitive League of Legends. on stage. That's what I mean by that. On stage for, like, with a real result, not a scrim where you just wipe it from your memory if it goes bad. They get wins and losses for these. I don't know how anyone thinks that, like, a team with that number of games is, like, now it's possible for them to lose, but I don't know how anyone would expect the team with fewer games, that much fewer, more than double less, to win. Playing stage games, playing competitively, it does nothing but help you understand how to draft, which, yes, you can do in scrims and you can do in practice, but there's also a difference between doing that and doing it on stage when you only have a certain amount of time to think about it. You have to respond to adversity in the moment. And then also, playing stage games increases your knowledge and awareness of the champions that you play and their limitations. Their limitations in certain team comps that you draft and their limitations against other champions that you play. And this is why constantly throughout MSI, we have seen North American teams get early game advantages and not be able to secure those advantages and win the game. They don't understand the limits of their champions and they overplay their hand. They dive a turret when they don't actually have the damage or the cooldowns or understand how their champion interacts with the map state. And they engage at a wrong time. They don't play around their champion's item spikes or like spikes in tempo on the map, be it based around a turret they've taken or an objective that's spawning, be it dragon or baron. And it's just evident that if they were to play and play and play and play more, they would have experienced more scenarios in the game that will allow them to think through these situations and be able to more securely push a lead forward. Now, if you were to correct the issue of scheduling and how many games these teams are playing to where they're more on par with Korea and with China, then you should start looking at in-game issues. How do we fix this? How do we fix that? Don't do that before you even address the root of the issue. Because if you do that and you spend the few games that you actually do get to play trying to correct certain issues, other issues are going to come up. You have to iron out your errors through constant repetition of play. Now, that can be done in practice too. That doesn't necessarily have to be stage games, but a lot of NA players don't want to do either. They don't want to do more stage games. And there's also the aspect of scheduling and broadcasting and stuff to where they might not even get that chance if they wanted it. But also, they don't want to do... Some players struggle with playing 5 solo queue games a day. It's your job to play the game and to be good at the game and to practice the game. You shouldn't have a problem with that. You should want to do that because you should want to win and you should want to go to Worlds and you should want to go far at Worlds. But they don't want to do that. A lot of them don't want to play Champions Queue, and a lot of them are just stealing paychecks away from players that actually do want to do it, but they can't get enough practice because other people won't play seriously. And kind of the moment where I was kind of no longer feeling sorry for these players is 2 years ago when Bjergsen was the head coach of TSM after he had retired the first time from being a player, and he was coaching them for that year, and they were a good team. He had them with a very good record. But in one of the TSM Legends episodes, he is kind of calling them out and says, I'm the coach. Why do I have the second most solo queue games played this week? Something like that is just completely inexcusable. Bjergsen as the coach who has to deal with, you know, who they're scrimming against, what they're going to be picking, what they're going to be practicing, what, you know, each player is struggling with, what they need to be improving on, all these other things, is still playing the game more than four of his five players. That is, like, completely indefensible. And they ended up bowing out in playoffs. They were the number one seed, and they didn't make it to Worlds. Because the players didn't truly care. And because if they did, then they would have showed it by being dedicated to the game. I'm going to leave it there. It was kind of just a 20-minute rant. But yeah, we'll be back next week with more, either more MSI talk or more talk about league in general, because there was some major kind of news and developments that happened this week. So I will touch on those. And, yeah, so I hope, if you're into professional League of Legends, like I am, that something changes and that, you know, things kind of improve. It definitely doesn't look good for the North American region going forward. But I guess all we can do is hope. So thanks for listening to all that, and I will see you next week.